Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. We'll spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading tonight. All of us are aware of the fact that when we come together to study God's Word, it's essential that we be in fellowship with our Lord. That simply means that we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. We're in a position then to receive the communication, dissemination of God's wonderful Word. The Scripture reveals to us very vividly that we are to admit our faults and failures and sins. And when we do that, He says He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we claim His wonderful promises tonight as we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts this evening for the fact that we realize once again how blessed all of us are. We're the recipients of Your matchless grace, saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace. We're thankful indeed tonight that we're Your children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that one day we shall leave this life, and when that takes place, either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death, we'll be absent from this body and at home with our Lord. And so we express our thanks again tonight for the fact that we're privileged to be here to focus our minds upon eternal truths. We pray that You will guide us in these moments of study. And we thank You again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm aware of the fact that we're living in a summer day. And so for me to be able to talk about fireplaces in a summer day may not be all that attractive. But I want you to see that we're dealing tonight with the subject, how not to be burned. Fireplaces can be very wonderful when it's cold outside. And you can cuddle up and watch the wood burn, sparks jumping in various directions. Of course, you want a fire that burns brightly and puts out at least some heat without sending smoke into the room. Often when watching the logs burning, it becomes necessary to take a fire poker and turn the logs so that they will burn better. But while kneeling before the fireplace and turning those logs, you have to be extremely careful not to let a burning log roll onto you. That would be a catastrophe indeed. Proverbs 6:27 says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Let's stop right there and ask you to turn, if you will, please, to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to begin our reading there with verse 27. I trust you have your Bibles with you tonight, and you'll open them to Proverbs chapter 6, 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's hungry. But when he's found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. We've already reminded you that in Proverbs 6:27, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? That may sound very silly, but people are being burned every day because they're careless with fire. But I'm not talking about normal fire. I'm talking about the fire of impurity, the fire of immorality, the fire of lasciviousness. Every person, young and old, who commits sexual sins, in reality, is scooping fire into his lap. That is why God has built a firewall around sexual intimacy. That firewall is called marriage. And anything outside that protective wall will burn its victim. The seventh commandment out of the Ten Commandments reveals, you shall not commit adultery. Isn't it strange that you don't hear that verse very often today? Tonight, let's consider the scripture on the subject, how not to be burned. As I made preparation for this service tonight, and I looked at these verses of scripture, I was able to see the story from three different vantage points. I put them down here for you to see. Walking near fire, playing with fire, consumed by fire. If you will now, let's go to our scriptures, which is found in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in darkness. What I want you to be able to see is that the first point I have found is the subject walking near the fire. I've just read for you the scripture in Proverbs 7, 6 through 9. But let's go back again to Proverbs 5, 3, 4, and 5. Let's see what it says. We find in Proverbs 5, 3, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. And then again in chapter 6, verse 27, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The verses found in chapter 7 tell us the story of a young man who walked near the flames by making a trip after dark to flirt with fire. He was walking toward the temptation, having left home before dark, twilight. He's making a big mistake by allowing his volition to move him toward the fire. The wise writer here in Proverbs is looking out of his window, the scripture says out of the lattice, in verses 6 and 7, and sees this young man who was lacking judgment, walking in the direction of temptation. We notice that he moves from twilight to darkness and is intentionally moving to the wrong place. Each step this young man takes is taking him nearer to the fire where he cannot help be burned. This is not an innocent stroll. This is not harmless flirtation. I want you to be able to see that we've emphasized an individual moving toward the fire. When I look in verses 10 through 20, I see this young man playing with fire. We're going to read these verses, Proverbs 7, 10 through 20. I want you to be able to see how this young man is heading in the wrong direction. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him. And with a brazen face, she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today, I have paid my vows. Now, I want you to be able to see what I'm reading tonight. I put down here point one, the profligate came out to meet him. She is loud, she's defiant, she's crafty, and the scripture says her feet never stay at home. This is a picture of a woman of the streets. This is a picture of a prostitute. This is a picture of what we call a profligate. This profligate came out to meet him. She's loud, she's defiant, she's crafty. Her feet never stay at home. She gives an invitation of deceit that draws an emotionally weak person. Look now, if you will, please, at verses 14 to 17. I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I paid my vows. Therefore, I've come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings with color linens of Egypt. I sprinkle my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love unto morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For the man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. I want you to realize tonight that many preachers do not choose to preach the information that I'm giving you this evening. I feel like it's important for us to hear it very attentively and carefully. I thought, for instance, that I was getting into some deep water as I was dealing with these verses. And then I started making preparation for Song of Solomon. And I want you to know that if you've ever studied Song of Solomon, this is very tame in relationship to what we're going to find there. I was very interested to see what Henrietta Mears would say about this Song of Solomon. And I noticed she only gave a paragraph and moved on to the next book of the Bible. In verses 14 to 17, you'll notice that this woman now uses religious terminology. Isn't that interesting how people can become involved in immorality and use religious terminology? She says, I want you to know that I'm involved with a fellowship offerings to the gods. You'll notice that, will you please? I read it again. I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I paid my vows. She wants to make this affair look respectable. She wants this event to sound good and look good and feel good and appear to be so right. Sweet as honey, but in the end, she's bitter as gall. We find in Proverbs 5, 3 and 4. I need to pause for a moment to tell you that over the years, there have been people who've come to me to admit their faults and failures and sins and disobediences. And I've found oftentimes that people try to cover their disobedience, their sin, their going astray with some religious terminology. I've heard this many times, and I'm not going to get into any illustrations tonight. But I want you to know that what I'm seeing here is very picturesque in our day. She now uses religious terminology. Speaking of fellowship offerings to the gods, she wants this event to appear to be respectable. She wants the event to sound good, look good, feel good, and appear to be so right. I've had people to tell me, preacher, you have to understand that our situation just could not be wrong because it is so sweet and so wonderful. I've heard that. Listen to her seductive words. We pick that up in verse 18. Let me read. Here's what she's saying. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. But notice, if you will, the circumstances. The man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and so he's going to be gone for a while. At full moon, he will come home. Listen to her seductive words. Drink deep of love. Husband gone. No one will know. Do you notice those words that are being used here? Listen to her seductive words. We see it all the way from chapter 7, 18, 19, and then 20. Drink deep of love. Husband gone. No one will know. We must see here that though true love is compared to a drink of pure water, but disobedience may at first appear to be fresh water, and it turns out to be water like sewer. And this is found in chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. So I'm going to ask you to back up, if we will, to the fifth chapter. And let's begin with verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? It is God who is the inventor of the love relationship of a husband and wife. Therefore, he has the right to set the boundaries of that relationship. I realize that while I'm speaking tonight, you need to be taking some of these statements down. It is God who is the inventor of the love relationship of the husband and wife. Therefore, he has the right to set the boundaries of that relationship. If you'll notice also, now we come to the third point, consumed by fire. I see this in chapter 7, verses 21 to 27. Let me read it. You follow along. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Sometimes when I'm reading the scripture, I feel like I ought to just stop and let you sit there and look at it for 5 or 10 minutes. Verse 24. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. When I looked over these verses, chapter 7, 21 to 27, I said, this young man is now seduced by her small talk, her smooth talk, like an ox going to the slaughter, the scripture says. This individual who's being presented to us, has not counted the cost in advance. And now he has to pay the entire bill that relates to this situation. It's important for me to go slowly here and let you see something. I want you to see again what I've just said. Consumed by fire. This young man is now seduced by her smooth talk, like an ox going to the slaughter. He's not counted the cost in advance and now has to pay the entire bill that relates to the following things. When I looked at verse 11 of chapter 5, I saw that there was something that a person would lose, and I find it's a loss of health. Look, if you will, at chapter 5 and verse 11, and let me read it to you. It says, flesh and the body consumed as a result of the disease of promiscuity. Chapter 5, verse 11. And you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed. I want you to see this. I'm not reading from a book other than the Bible. This young man did not count the cost in advance and now has to pay the entire bill that relates to the following things. One, loss of health. I'll read it again. And you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed. The second thing I see is not only the loss of health, but the loss of reputation. Infidelity brings ruin. Families are broken apart. Careers are ended. Lives are shattered. Look at it in verse 14. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. So we see loss of health in Proverbs 5:11. We see loss of reputation in Proverbs 5:14. We see loss of freedom in chapter 5, verse 22. Let me read it to you. Chapter 5, 22 says, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. Loss of freedom. Isn't that interesting? His own iniquities will capture him, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. Loss of freedom. If you'll notice, I have another point here. The loss of life's best. In chapter 7, 26 and 27. Let me read it to you. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. When I looked at this, I came to the conclusion that I needed to write down for you to see. It says, many are the victims she's cast down. The fifth thing that I notice is that immorality is a serious problem. And we must know that God desires to give us constant victory. Each person must be under the control of the pure thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's authority on a day-by-day basis. I was trying to put all this together and let you see that I feel it's very important that we must be careful to stay away from the fire. Immorality is a serious problem, and we must know that God desires to give constant victory. Each person must be under the control of the pure thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit's authority on a day-by-day basis. You'll notice that I have number 6, how not to be burned. You'll see that I put down, stay away from the fire. How not to be burned, stay away from the fire. I want you to see again And I looked at this and I put it down in this way. First of all, we need to be careful not to go down the wrong road. When we're doing that, we're going to be heading in the wrong direction to the point that we eventually are going to find ourselves making bad, bad decisions. We're playing with fire. We're walking near the fire. And you'll notice that I'm looking for my little outline to let you see again. Walking near the fire, playing with fire, consumed by fire. How not to be burned? Stay away. And all of us find ourselves under the control at times of the old sinful nature. And when we're under the control of our sinful nature, we're going to make decisions that are not in keeping with God's plan. So the challenge, of course, is not to walk near the fire, not to play with fire, and certainly stay away so that we won't be consumed by the fire. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize tonight that we have come to a subject that all of us need to hear. We realize that every day we live, we have the responsibility of walking in accordance with the wonderful plan that you have for us. A life of triumph, a life of victory. We realize that you plan for us to be triumphant in life, be victorious in life. You've presented to us a magnificent system, the system of walking in the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We realize how important it is for us to do this on a day-by-day basis. We are aware of the fact that not only just young people who have the great temptation of getting too close to the fire, but oftentimes middle-aged individuals and older people will find themselves playing with the fire, moving toward the fire, and sometimes even being consumed by the fire. Father, help us to understand that you've given to us the means by which we can live a triumphant life, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be led by the Word of God. And we're thankful indeed that you've made it possible for us to have victory and joy and peace and contentment in this life. And as we come to the close of this service tonight, we're aware of the fact that there are many decisions that need to be made by individuals, those who are believers. But we're also aware of the fact that there are people who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The greatest need for them is to believe and to become a believer in Jesus Christ, to be born into that magnificent kingdom, to become a member of the family of God. We're thankful that the Scripture teaches us, he that has the Son has life. But it also teaches us, he that has not the Son does not have life. We pray that there will be those who will see this evening that they need the Son, realizing that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory, come to this earth as a God-man, and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And we realize that Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We realize that the Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those, even at this very moment, will realize this very serious decision for life and accept you as their own personal Lord and Savior. You have blessed us all. Many, many years ago, we realized that we needed Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We accepted Him. He accepted us. And we're thankful for that salvation. We pray that there will be those who will make that same decision to believe and to accept Jesus as their Savior this evening. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.